is Walter Garrison, the host of Locavore on CFRU 93.3 FM. Today we have an interesting show. I will be talking with Wolfgang Fenning from Fenning's Certified Organic. And Wolfgang Fenning has been a produce grower in the province of Ontario since 1981, so 30 years now, and very famous for his carrots in Ontario and sold in a number of places. He has an organic store as well, too, in the Waterloo area. And he's going to talk about the challenges of being a certified organic high-quality produce grower in the present-day market and with our present-day economy, and especially in light of the high Canadian dollar. So our first part of our interview, Mr. Fenning is going to talk about the focus of his business and a bit about the demographic of his customers.
Our main focus is growing organic vegetables. We also have in the rotation on our farm grains, which are very important, and cover crops, and like annual grains and grains that overwinter for our soil building program.
Okay, what are the most popular and in demand, let's say, vegetables that you grow?
The most popular vegetable is carrots for us.
Okay,
the Fenning's brand, together with the carrot, is what we started with in 1981 when I came to Canada, and it developed into a very popular brand.
Now, is it one variety of carrot or several varieties?
The main variety is the regular, typical orange carrot, and the reason why it's so popular is in the Fenning's brand is because of its flavor. That has to do with the soil program that we do on the farm, the minerals and so on that help develop a wonderful flavor. We also grow purple carrots, orange carrots, and the rainbow carrot, but that's a very small portion of our carrot sales. These are novelty varieties which people tend to like.
Could you talk a little bit more about your soil building program? What do you do to, and I keep hearing this at the organic conference about we need to know more about the more microbial activity that's occurring in the soil, how to nourish the soil. What do you do specifically to build up a better soil for crop production?
We make a lot of compost. We make a lot of soil analysis. We also work with a company called Biosystems, who help me translate the soil tests, because I'm very busy with running a business, and the more I study soil science, the more I understand it's very complex. And we monitor mostly the ratios between certain minerals. Let me back up for a moment. The organic agriculture in North America is based on the science of three people, Dr. Aaron Fried Pfeiffer, Dr. Reams, and Albrecht. Those models for soil testing have been around for a long time, and most of North American organic agriculture uses those soil tests, those mineral content tests. And we try to follow those. That model, which has helped us after the years come up with the mineral content in the soil that brings up good crops and good flavor.
Now, what food products? You have a processing facility on site of your operation?
We are considered a packer.
Okay.
So we don't cut the crops. We wash and grade carrots. We wash and grade potatoes and pack them into the poly bags.
Okay.
And we do the same with onions, and we bunch a lot of spinach and greens. So that's all done in that facility.
Okay. And is that only what you grow, or do you get crops from other growers as well?
it developed over the years that other farmers came and asked, hey, you do this, you drive to Toronto, can you take my crop? So with that, it's this is how it started, and it kind of ended up that a lot of farmers sell their crops to us, and we either pack them into our Fennings logo in the Fennings brand, or we just take them and wholesale them if they have their own brand, along with our own other with our vegetables through our own distribution system.
Okay, and they're all certified organic products that would come off the from other people as well?
Yes, that's all we handle. We only handle organic crops, and we are considered a grower, a packer, and a shipper or wholesaler.
How important is it to your customers that you are certified organic?
I think it is very important to a lot of consumers, and some consumers, maybe it's not so important. There's a difference between Walmart organic or the people that shop at Walmart or the consumer that shops at Walmart and the consumer that shops at Bicarat, for example. Bicarat customers are customers that shop organic for a long time. They are very educated in what they want. They demand that there's no GMO crops grown for what Bicarat sells. So the Bicarat had to go through all their store and take out all the products that contain GMO inputs, ingredients. And then there are other stores like supermarkets where the basic consumer gets confronted for the first time in his life with an organic product. And they haven't had the chance to learn so much about organic. So we have a wide range of customers, and some value it a lot and some don't, and we try to educate them.
So would you say, though, that the demographic of your clientele, though, especially those that come to the farm, are more educated with respect to organics than the average consumer that goes grocery shopping?
The people that shop for the Fennings brand are usually quite educated.
So, Mr. Fenning has been around for 3 decades on his present property, and they also have a store and they have a packaging line as well. And it's really interesting to think about the organic movement and how far it's progressed in the last few decades. And now we're in an era of local food being just as important, or in some cases more important, than organic itself. In the next section of our interview, Mr. Fenning talks about the challenges and also the successes that he has had growing organically. Mr. Fenning, I wonder if you could talk to us about the biggest challenges that you face in your operation.
The biggest challenge right now is the strong Canadian dollar.
Okay.
That's very short and blunt.
Okay. So how specifically does that affect your operation?
Well, I'll put it very simple. For every bag of carrots you bought 2 years ago coming in from the United States, you paid about $1.50. Now you only pay a dollar, which means Canadian conditions for us in Canada have not changed, but the product coming in from the United States comes in 50 cents cheaper. And production costs and labor has increased dramatically in the last 3 years. So this is a huge challenge and problem, and we will have to abandon certain projects just because they're not feasible anymore. It doesn't pay to grow certain items because the labor aspect is too high and the U.S. imports are too cheap, and we just can't make it work.
Okay, so do you see there's a way that consumers and yourself, there's a way government, whatever, can address that? Because that is an issue, absolutely. I understand where you're coming from with that in the long term, so that you can at least face that in somewhat of a proactive manner and be successful and continue to thrive as an operation.
If we would be the airline industry with 1 million people employed and we would scream, I'm sure somebody would listen. But because we're a small farm, or relatively small, and for Canada, for the industry, we have to find a way on our own to survive. And I'm confident we will. We just have to abandon certain projects, and they will only come in as imports, just like the Chinese industry. You know, you can't make shoes in Canada anymore because it's cheaper to make them in China, and the government lets that happen. Okay. So I don't see a way that somebody's going to change this unless the Canadian dollar exchange rate changes.
Okay. Now, as far as successes that you've had with your operation, could you describe some of those, please?
The biggest success I would see is that we're still around.
Still producing, and producing organically.
Lots of companies went under or went bankrupt, and we managed to survive. I think surviving is a success. We do get business growth. We have had lots of growth in the last 5 years, and sometimes growth can be very painful. And during that time, if you manage your business well, it's okay. Managing growth is extremely hard, and if we can make it work, it's okay. The nicest thing during this growth and success is that most of that business came by recommendation.
So word of mouth.
Yes.
And so do you other than the internet, do you advertise at all?
We fund the Guelph Organic Conference. Like, we sponsor Guelph. We sponsor the Canadian Organic Growers Conference. We donate food to universities if they have some big events and they want to cook an organic food. We normally donate the food. We do things like that. But big advertisement doesn't work so much so well in the produce industry. It's a very fast-moving industry, and usually you only get the deal if you're the cheapest.
So with respect to that, do you think there's a place for a better distribution model, maybe a way to market local and organic food even better than it's being done right now? I know certainly awareness has increased, but it's very tough, as you say, when you're competing with imports that have dropped in price by, 50%. And or 33%, and you're trying to work in that environment. Is there a place for a better distribution network or something where people can access your product more readily? I'm just trying to think here, because you're telling me something that many, many, many growers are facing, and many have not survived because of this.
It's a huge challenge, and I don't know if I have all the answers. The distribution of organic produce in Ontario, we sell Ontario-wide, is fairly well established over the course of the years. There were several companies come and go and fail, and right now there is like two companies that are fairly well established with distribution, and a third company inside the food terminal, which we don't have a relationship with, but with the other company we do. So our trucks and their trucks cover the area in a fairly efficient manner, so that today we can sell produce much more effectively and economically than we did 10 years ago. And I think this is what helps us to overcome this dollar struggle. Okay. It hasn't been around forever, and it probably won't be around forever. It's just at the moment, a challenge.
What do you think, with respect to, even if the dollar does stay where it is right now, do you see future areas where you can grow or get into new areas at all with respect to your operation?
We are working to bring some of the processed items back. Ontario lost like almost all of its processing capacity, and it's all coming in from China. And now we're seeing huge demands from the community that they want like frozen vegetables, something like frozen peas, carrots, and corn available again with produce grown in Canada. So we're experimenting a little bit in developing that, and it's amazing how that can work. And that, again, surprises us why the industry has left if it's not all that hard.
Has it now, as far as
that requires significant capital cost. Has the government or are there any programs that have helped you with this?
Yes, and I'm not alone in this. There's a group of us, and the people that are dealing directly with the development of this industry, they have had access to funding and support in various ways. So we're actually quite happy.
So he's had to adapt to varying changes in the environment for growth, specifically looking at the high Canadian dollar and the cheaper costs now of imports. Although what is really interesting is that the cheaper cost of imports doesn't translate into any sort of increased price for him when he actually distributes his produce through the larger stores. So we will talk about that. In the next section of our interview, Mr. Fenning talks about what the organic movement has done well.
In the last 10 years, what do you think the organic movement has done well?
The development of the CSAs came in. I think 10 years ago there wasn't so much CSA, but it became very popular, and we just happened to know about it because a lot of CSA farms sell their excess to us or buy from us if they're short. So we are, Fennings is a little bit of a network between all kinds of CSA groups, and okay. That's one thing that we noticed.
Sorry, could I ask you, how many acres is your farm?
Fennings farms 500 acres and 200 in vegetables.
Okay.
And yeah, we're, I don't know if it's big or small, but compared to California, it's small. Compared to Ontario, it may be a little bit big, but...
So that's interesting. So you're talking about integrating various CSAs, and your farm is a conduit in a way for that.
In a way, they buy from us. We have a loose relationship. They buy from us, and they sell to us if they have too much of something, and we offer it to other growers because we sell to about 200 stores in Ontario per week. With our distribution, with our own distribution network, and so we can sort of share product back and forth, and that's good.
So, well, which stores do you sell to, by the way?
Mostly health food stores. Here in Guelph, we sell to the Stone Store. During the Guelph Organic Conference, we get to sell to some of the restaurants around here. There's a store here in the campus center, I think, that gets our carrots sometimes. It would be really nice if they would carry the Fennings brand all year.
Okay.
I think the students would be interested in that.
Yeah.
The supermarkets carry produce from us, so that's another development in the last 10 years. The large supermarkets started carrying more and more organic.
So which ones specifically?
Loblaws, Sobeys. Loblaws probably had the biggest increase and did a very nice job. I'm not sure how they're doing now. We don't know if we always feel correct or not, but what the future will tell.
Right. And is there anything else besides the CSAs that you feel the organic movement has done well?
There were quite a few organic farms that started to go organic. So there was a huge increase in organic acreage.
I just want to talk a little bit about what he is alluded to with respect to inflation and deflation. I'm looking at the Consumer Price Index for Canada over the last year, and these are stats as of December 2010. And prices that are deflationary, or prices that have gone down, you look at a general category of goods. Well, clothing prices have gone down about 3.5%. And the price of vegetables, this is, we're talking with respect to what Mr. Fenning is doing, price of vegetable has gone down 3%. Now, this is actually going to be increased, but the inflationary cost, for example, of gasoline has gone up 13%. And that's as of December 2010. And we're now in the latter stages of April 2011, and we know how much gas prices have increased. So if you look at the price of vegetables, certainly the prices of imports are a lot cheaper, and it makes it more difficult for somebody like Mr. Fenning to compete in a world where you've got cheaper produce coming in from other countries, potentially subsidized, whether or not the organic standards are similar to our own is also up for debate, although we do have the Canada Organic Standard. But it is much more difficult for him to compete. So, of course, he has to think about where he can specialize and do well. And in the next part of our interview, he talks about this very issue about organic standards and competing in a global marketplace.
In what areas do you think the organic movement could improve upon?
That's a good question.
Because certainly people are more aware of organic. There's no doubt about it. I mean, they're so aware that the big players in food distribution and selling want to get into it. But are there areas where the organic movement can improve?
Question is who the organic movement would be if it's us farmers and we need to improve. That's going to be a little bit difficult because in the last 2 or 3 years the rules kept changing faster than we can adjust and the bar was raised quicker than we learned how to jump over it in a higher position.
With regulation, you mean?
By regulation, by food safety, by audit, by traceability. I mean, we had it in our own farm, the traceability, long before it was law or required. But all those things keep building and create stress while the cost is running away on us. Like, cost of production is increasing quicker than we can raise prices. Product from United States comes in cheaper, or China. So there's foreign product flooding the market in Ontario, while our cost of production is going out of control. Plus, the bar is being raised on us, almost beyond the level where we can handle it. And at the same time, the cheap China crap comes in.
Okay, is there anything? How would you address this? Is there something that government should do, or what? People are well educated, but are they educated enough? What can we? Because this is a real issue that you're bringing up here.
It's a real issue where I don't have the answer.
Okay,
well, in the Middle Ages, you had riots.
Yeah. Let's hope it doesn't get to that point. But we obviously have to think about this because, as you say, if our dollar's so high and the imports that come in are really cheap, and you've got large-scale buyers, you know, bringing in organic food, and it's very tough to compete on a cost-per production basis, and your traceability costs are going up. Is it a good idea that we have this one Canada organic standard? Do you like that? Are you in favor of that?
I am in favor of that because it gives us a few teeth at the border. Up till now, United States brought certified organic product into Canada, which did not meet the Canadian standards. And that was mostly because of a fertilizer that was not approved in Canada, but approved in United States. So it was called certified organic, but not according to Canadian standards. And the consumer never knew that. And it always made a problem for us domestic growers because United States produce came in bigger, bluer, darker, good, better looking. And they told us, you guys are no good. Well, it's because they used a fertilizer that is basically not organic. So the Canadian standard, the national standard, stopped that eventually or hopefully.
Another issue that we see is that less people are involved in agriculture than ever before. How do we encourage people to become involved in farming and make it a sustainable transition from what they might be doing now and not one dependent upon them working a 40-hour job, 40-hour week job off-site of the farm?
That's a good one, and I have a story to that too. Just like Martin de Groot from Mapleton said last night in the forum, that a student worked on his farm and started like a small CSA on the farm. I had the same experience on our farm. We had a girl, Candice Wormsbacher, I think is the name, came to me and said she'd like to start a CSA but has no land. So, and asked if she can run on our farm a small CSA. So we allowed her to an acre and a half or so. And in 2010 was her first season. And she was able to make it and make it successful. And so she's very happy and she asked if she can do it again. The interesting thing with that is she's a student that got her hands into the ground and played with vegetables, and she has a blog, she has a story to tell, she can tell that story to the 50 shares she sold in a wonderful way, she can communicate with those consumers, and we as a larger farm are just learning from the way she's marketing her story. So she's selling much more than just product, and she has happy customers that come out on the weekend and help her weed, and so there's a lot of socializing going on. Where this goes in the future, long term, I don't know, but for the time being, I'm enjoying watching. I enjoy watching what she's doing, and I think there's more kids out there that want to start farming, and if they can find a way like that to sell 50 shares to the public and start at it, but why not?
So this whole idea of somebody like yourself who's experienced allowing for that apprenticeship opportunity so I guess it's a win-win situation. If I can maybe hypothesize here, is that people will come to their CSA, to her CSA, and buy from her, but they'll also see your operation there and they might buy something from you as well.
That's exactly right. I mean, we don't sell directly to the public. My sister has a store. But those people live all over, and our produce is in all kinds of stores and supermarkets with the Fennings brand, and those people go shopping there too. So I had no problem letting that girl farm at our place and sell vegetables.
So I have one more question, and it's a big issue question, really looking at the cost of organic food, because you've described in great detail to us why it is costly to produce. Forget about organic, just even produce in Canada. And then when you look at organic and the traceability aspects of it as well, there's a lot of costs. And yet there are people, depending on their economic status, they can't afford organic food or perhaps don't buy it as often as they would like to because it is more costly than conventional food. So how do we reconcile growers and packers and processors getting a fair price, a sustainable price for their food, and at the same time having it affordable for consumers? I'm interested in hearing your thoughts on this.
There's a lot of politics involved. Food has never been cheaper than now. If you really look at it, we as a producer are being forced by the supermarket to sell our crop for less than ever before. Our prices of carrots and potatoes and all those crops were reduced by 25% by the big marketplace this past fall. And the interesting thing is you as a consumer did not see new price tags on display. So who ate the difference? The retailer. So we as a grower are being ambushed by the industry, saying they can buy cheaper as import produce. And when I go and check out their stores, they sell the product at the same prices as they did before they took 25% away from us.
I want to thank Wolfgang Fenning from Fenning Certified Organic for coming in. I'm grateful for the time you spent with us today talking about the challenges and the successes of growing organic vegetables and packaging them. And I wish you continued success with your business.
Thank you very much for your interest. And thanks to all the listeners out there for buying organic Ontario produce and supporting Ontario production.
This is Walter Garrison, the host of Locavore, broadcast out of CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph, Ontario.